Yeah, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you're doing a good work in this house. God, we honor the work that you're doing in our community, in every individual life. God, I thank you during this Destiny series that you've been challenging us on an individual level how to step into the thing that you've called us to do, how to walk in our destiny. But I pray tonight that you would shift our perspective a little bit. I pray that tonight you would open our eyes not just to the reality of our own destiny, but you would open our eyes to the destiny of this house, to the destiny of sons and daughters, to the destiny of Living Hope, that you have called our church into existence for a reason, to do something here in our time and here in our city. And so today, as we talk about what it means that you have a destiny for our house, I pray that you would open up our hearts and you would inspire us to participate in what you're doing here in this community. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we open it up to Luke chapter 5. Now listen, I've been listening to Stephen Furtick all week, and so I am pumped up, and so I need to hear from you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a come on? Man, watching Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church, his church knows how to respond, but you know what? I believe y'all do it better. I believe y'all do it better. So let me hear it. Come on. All right, I feel the energy. We're going to read from Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11, and this is how it starts. Y'all might know the story. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, I don't know how to pronounce that. Pretty good? Yeah. We didn't learn that in seminary. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, also known as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now we're shifting gears here. We've been talking throughout this whole Destiny series about how to discover the thing that God's called you to do, how to step into your calling and your destiny. Well, today we're starting a new direction in this Destiny series. Today we're going to start to talk about what it means that God has a destiny for this house. Now, just by a show of hands, how many of you consider this your house? Come on, just put your hands up in your hair. If this is your house, then this message is deeply for you. And even if this isn't your house yet, I believe God is calling you to a house to pour into the destiny of that church. Now, God has called our church, here, sons and daughters, into existence to do something here in our time and here in our city. It is no coincidence that we are in San Francisco. It is no coincidence that we're alive right now, millennials, hallelujah. There's no coincidence that we exist as a church. There's something that God has called us to do here in our time, here in this city. There's a reason our church exists, and it's not to make great coffee. There's a reason our church exists, and it's not to put up these stupid little deer. There's a reason our church exists, and it's not to raise your little T-Rex arms. If you guys missed a few weeks ago, one of our church members dressed up as a T-Rex and came into worship. That's not why we exist. That is not why God birthed sons and daughters, Soda SF, Living Hope, into existence. We're here for more than that. You know, I was having a bit of an existential crisis a few weeks ago when we had our one-year anniversary. You know, I don't know if this is going to happen every anniversary, but I began wrestling inside, and I asked myself this question. Did we fulfill our destiny this year? Because 1 year has passed. What is the fruit of what we've done? Is what we've done as a church what you have called us to do here in our time, here in our city? And I was asking myself that question, y'all. And I was suffering. I was struggling a little bit because I was thinking, did we really? I mean, yeah, we have great coffee. We had a T-Rex in our service. You know, we popped off 10 confetti cannons the other week. Great stuff, great stuff. Put on Stranger Things music. So we have great vibes here. Great. But did we hit our mark this year? Did we do the thing that you've called us to do? And I began asking God, God, did we? Did we do well? Did we fulfill our destiny as a house? And at first, it was coming slowly, but then it came like a rushing wind. All of a sudden, I remembered how during our season of Lent, so one of our church members was fasting for financial breakthrough, and by the end of that Lent season, a few months afterwards, they were now debt-free. I remembered how someone shared with us that they hadn't been to church for 5 years, but as soon as they walked into our community, now their hearts are burning after God. I remembered how God called 5 of our church members during Lineage Retreat into full-time ministry to pursue after the things of God, and some of them are starting to pursue seminary. I remembered that this year alone, we served over 4,300 meals to the homeless and the needy in San Francisco. I remember that this year, so many people have come up to me and said, I found where I belong. I found family. I've been searching for years. I've gone church to church, but I finally found where I belong. I finally found my family. I remembered someone came up to me and said, you know why I moved to San Francisco? Because I was going to dive headfirst into debauchery and sin. But you know what I ended up doing? I ended up diving headfirst into a passionate pursuit of God. I remembered all these stories after stories, and I began to see we hit our mark, that we did the thing that God has called us to do here in the city of San Francisco. We walked in our destiny. Come on, how many of you believe that? Give me an amen. See, our church doesn't exist just to be a cool Christian club. Nothing wrong with being cool. I mean, we're cool. I think we're pretty cool. You see that Stranger Things vibe? You know, I think we're pretty cool. But listen, that's not why we're here. We're here in San Francisco to love and to transform our city. We are here to set the captives free. We are here to wage war against the darkness. We are here to share the love of God, to give life to the lifeless, hope to the hopeless, to give purpose to people. We are here for more than just great coffee, T-Rexes, and confetti cannons. We are here to fulfill the destiny that God has for us. Now, where am I going with this? It's this. God fulfills the destiny of our house through the obedience of his people. What made 2017, what made us able to hit our mark was that we were obedient to the thing that God has called us to do. And I just want to give a quick shout out to the team. Anyone who's serving right now, from the coffee bar to the welcome table to the overhead to the social media to the worship team to every part, everything that makes us go and be the people that God has called us to be, I want to shout them out because of their obedience, we have hit our mark this year. And listen, I don't know about you, but as great as 2017 was, you hear me, church, listen to me. Look into my eyes, deep into my small, tiny eyes. Look at me right now. As great as 2017 was, I have so much faith and I have so much confidence that 2018, we are going out of the stratosphere. We are departing from Earth. We're going to be aliens from now on. I'm just kidding. This is not this kind of blasphemous. What I'm saying is 2018 is going to exceed the glory that we've experienced this year. 2018 is going to be a greater year. God has so much that he's going to do in our community this next year. But there's a but. Look to your neighbor and say, but. There are things that we have to do to be able to hit our mark in 2018. I want us to look at this story, and it's a familiar story, and I want us to pay attention to verse 5, because we got to set up what the gospel is trying to communicate to us in this story. We see in verse 5, Simon, also known as Peter, the Rock, not Dwayne Johnson, Peter the Rock, he was the original Rock, okay? Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. He's telling Jesus, Jesus, me and my boys, we were fishing all night. We was working. We was laboring out in the cold, frigid sea. We was throwing nets over, and we have caught nothing. You see, Peter had been working all night but caught no fish. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever worked all night and caught no fish? In other words, have you ever exerted so much effort? Have you been faithful again and again only to see no breakthrough? Have you been grinding but you still see no fruit? Have you been consistent but still see no results? See, Peter was experiencing that. And it got to the point where he was thinking, maybe I should just throw in the towel. There ain't no fish jumping into my nets. There ain't no livelihood for me. But it's at that moment that you feel like throwing in that towel. It's at that moment where you feel like giving up that God is saying, just hold on a little bit longer. You see, how many of you know that it's often at the lowest point of your life where God reveals his greatest glory? You see, you thought the low point was just you struggling and suffering. No, that low point is something called a setup. It's a setup for the greatest breakthrough that God wants to release to you. It's at the lowest point of your life, the moment where the breakthrough isn't coming, the moment where the fruit isn't evident, the moment where you have no results, where God is going to begin to manifest his greatest glory. And we see here in the story later on, if you skip ahead, spoiler alert, you'll know what I'm talking about. The fish end up filling his boat so much so that they began to sink. Now, Peter is swimming in fish. But imagine if he hadn't held on just a little bit longer. What I feel like God is saying is that for some of you, you're right on the brink of your breakthrough. And you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. And you're wondering, do I need to keep being faithful? Because it's just not working. It's just not adding up. But I feel like the word of God to you today is just persevere. Just endure. Just wait a little bit longer. Continue being faithful. Do not grow weary in doing good, as Galatians tells us. Because the greatest glory that God's going to reveal in your life comes from that lowest moment. I tell you this all the time, but I've never been pregnant before. And I don't think I ever will. But what I hear from my friends who have gone through labor and gone through giving birth to a human baby, what I've heard from their accounts is that actually the hardest moment is not the first trimester or the second trimester or the third. The hardest moment is at the moment right before the baby about to come out. When they're forced to push, when they're forced to continue on, they say at that moment, I've never felt like giving up throughout the entire season of pregnancy until that moment. Right before the baby comes, you would figure that it's at that moment that you push even harder. But they told me at that moment, right before the baby came, that was the hardest time. That was the time when I felt like giving up. Listen, some of y'all, you're at that moment. Well, you're pregnant. Your breakthrough is imminent. It's on the way. But you're at that moment where you feel like maybe I should just throw in the towel. Let me tell you something. And I know this is going to speak to a few of you. Some of you right now are thinking, I'm going to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel. I don't know what area of your life, but some of you are thinking that right now. I want to tell you, do not grow weary in doing good. Just continue to be faithful. Hold on. And I believe that the breakthrough is coming. It's often at the lowest point in your life where God reveals his greatest glory. I remember a few years back when I first started coming to Live in Hope on the Emeryville campus, we were doing a mission trip to Ethiopia. David was there with me. We had a few friends that went. And I remember that we were trying to fundraise a lot of money to go to Ethiopia to do these mass crusades, over 300,000 people. But I remember 3 days before we were set to take off, we were $13,000 short. And I remember we met, and Pastor Sonny and Pastor Benjamin were trying to infuse in us faith. But to be quite honest, I had zero faith. I was like, shoot, we're just not going. How are we going to raise $13,000? But I remember Pastor Sonny and Benjamin said something, just be faithful and let God do the rest. And so listen, we had 3 days left, and then we had 2 days left, and we still had $11,000 to raise. And we were just believing, you know, believing. Well, let me tell you something. We were faithful from that moment. I sent out letters before that, but I sent out more letters after that. And I just continued to grind and be faithful. Our entire team did that. Well, guess what? It was the morning of. We're getting ready to take off 2 days later. Not only did we raise all of the $13,000, but we had a $500 surplus. How many of you know that God is faithful? The breakthrough is coming. The question is, will you hold on long enough to see it? Will you be faithful long enough to see it? The lowest point is where God reveals his greatest glory. We move on. It says, he saw at the water's edge two boats, talking about Jesus. He's walking up to the water's edge. He sees two boats left there by the fishermen who are washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, a.k.a. Peter. I want to ask you a question, theological question. Why did Jesus choose Peter? I'm really asking. No, I'm just kidding. Why did Jesus choose Peter? I was thinking about this, and I heard a sermon about this, which is where all this is based from, but I heard, was it because Peter was a faithful Christian who had every single thing together? No. Was it because Peter was a master fisherman and his boat was overflowing with fish? No. See, Peter had failed out of Bible school. Peter was failing as a fisherman. In fact, Peter would go on to be a coward, deny Jesus 3 times. Peter had anger issues. I mean, later on in the Gospels, he chops off someone's ear. You really have anger problems if you chop off someone's ear, okay? You got to go to therapy. See, Peter had a whole mess of issues. So why is it that Jesus chose Peter? And I'll tell you, Jesus chose Peter because Peter had a boat. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm on a boat. What does that mean? It means Jesus didn't choose Peter because of his abilities, because of his successes, because his boat was beautiful, because of his perfect record. See, Jesus didn't choose me because of my abilities. Jesus didn't choose me because of my successes. He didn't choose me because of my gifts or my perfect record. Jesus chose me because I was willing to let him onto the boat. And Jesus chose Peter because he was willing to say, Christ, come onto my boat. Listen, some of you are already in the business of disqualifying yourselves. You say, you look at your boat around. You look at my abilities, my resources, my finances, everything, my education. And you say, God, this boat, it's not good enough for you to get on. But see, Jesus didn't choose Peter because he had everything together. Jesus chose Peter because Peter was willing to let him on to his boat. The question I want to ask you as we head into the new year is this. What is your boat? Look to your neighbor and say, what's your boat? And are you letting Jesus on? You know, I've been shouting these two people out a lot from the pulpit, but I'm just so proud of them. You know, Maureen and Karina, they started this whole prayer movement of the house. How many of you have seen the prayer board in the foyer over there? Isn't that amazing? Well, you know what? Not only do they put that prayer board up there and get all the prayer requests and pray for every single person that puts a prayer request, but they also, every morning on Sunday, they take those prayer requests and they pray over them together here in person, and then they also write a card and a prophetic word for the people that have submitted them. See, when I think about someone who's offered their boat to Jesus, I think about Maureen and Karina. They have given the thing that they have, and they've given it back to Jesus to serve his purposes. I think about another one of our church members works at Facebook, and he came up to me on his own volition and said, Pastor Mickey, I work at Facebook, and I get $300 of Facebook ad credits every month, but I want to give it to you and for you to use this for your church to serve God's kingdom purposes. See, how many know that this person was offering his boat to Jesus? You know, I think about all the generous givers in this house. You know, giving is the most underrated spiritual gift. There are people who are extremely generous, not just to the church, but to the people in the church. And that is one of the most special spiritual gifts. It's because of their generosity, of their giving. They're saying, I'm giving you my boat, Jesus. Do with it what you please. We go on to see that. Here's the most beautiful thing, and this gets me. See, Jesus, if you look later in the Gospels, what does he do when he sees water? He walks on it. And what gets me every time when I read the story, this is the beautiful thing. The one who could walk on water, get this, the one who's able to walk on water. I don't know about you, but when I was little, I used to try to walk on water. I read the story and I thought, why not? I'm a child of God, and I'll step into the pool and almost drown. And that's why I don't know how to swim. I'm traumatized, y'all. But listen, the one who could walk on water, even though he could walk on water, still decided to use Peter's boat. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, that's encouraging to me. Why? Because it's not that Jesus needs my abilities. It's not that Jesus needs my resources. It's not that Jesus needs what I got. He could do it all himself, but his heart is to partner with me, is for me to give him my resources, is for me to give him what I have. His heart is to get on your boat. Listen, look to your neighbor and say, Jesus wants to be on my boat. When I honestly, if I was Jesus, this is what I would have done, right? This is the boat. This is the water. You are the people. I would have walked on the water, be like, what's up, y'all? Fish. Right, just walk. Just show, impress everyone. I'm walking on water, and then I would start to preach. How many of y'all would listen that much more closely? But Jesus was setting a precedent here. He could have walked on water, but he wanted to show us how God does things here on earth. You see, God has all the power and ability to do whatever he wants, but his heart is to partner with his sons and his daughters, his children. You see, we're not necessary in the equation, but we are wanted. And he chooses us. You see, Jesus didn't need Peter's boat. God doesn't need my boat. He doesn't need your boat. He doesn't need my finances. He doesn't need my gifts. He doesn't need what I have to bring, but he chooses to use it anyway. And there's something so beautiful about that, isn't there? That even though the God who could walk on water could do all these amazing things without me, he still decides to bring me in on the process. I remember when I was a Sunday school teacher, I realized something. Are there any kids in the house? First of all, kids are a precious jewel and a gift from God. But as a teacher, I didn't really need their help. Let's be real. When you're inviting a student to help you do something, it's more for them than it is for you. Actually, it's a lot more work to oversee an army of children, and I've learned this in Sunday school. What am I saying is that just like in a scenario with a teacher and a student, when a student's trying to help, the teacher doesn't really need the student's help. But the teacher enjoys spending time with that student. And I imagine when I'm a dad, you know, my kids, probably when they're growing up, they're not going to know how to do a lot of things. And they're going to be really inconvenient to be around. And I still love them. But we ain't going to get a lot done together. It's not efficient yet, right? They're still learning. They're still young. They're still trying to crawl. They don't know how to wash dishes, right? They don't know how to do that. But I imagine that if I'm doing something with my son or my daughter, it's because I want to spend time with them. Because more than the task that needs to get done, this is more important. And what Jesus was communicating here is that, yeah, there are things that need to get done. There are things that need to happen here on earth. But the priority isn't me just doing it all. It's me doing it with you, to be with you, to be with my children. And we see that even Peter's boat wasn't really his own. Because if you think about it, Peter did not just go up to the water and imagine a boat into existence. The way that boat was created is someone had to find a tree. They had to chop down that tree and use that wood to build that boat. Let me ask you this. Who created that tree? I'll give you the answer. God. Even Peter's boat wasn't his own. Even the thing that he had, the thing that he owned, was something that God had created and orchestrated from the tree. You see, what am I saying? You think your gifts, you think your finances, you think your boat is your own? Let me tell you something. Wake up call. You are on loan. The things that you have, they're on loan. They're not even yours. The finances, the gifts, the abilities, the things that we have, our boats, they're not even our own. They're God's. And when you offer back to God the thing that he created you to have, he does extraordinary things. He does extraordinary things. What am I getting at? The way God releases heaven on earth is through his sons and daughters. It's very clear. Anything God wants to do here on earth will be done through his church. That means anything that God wants to do here in San Francisco will be done through you. Anything God wants to do here in the Mission District will be done through you. God accomplishes his purposes here on earth, not by snapping his finger and willing it into existence. He accomplishes the things that he wants to be done here on earth through his church, through his sons and his daughters. Isn't that powerful? I just need to take a break just to soak in that. You know, I used to go on a lot of mission trips. Pastor Sonny initially made me because I was the missions pastor. I was going on like 4, 5, 6 trips a year. And I remember the first mission trip we went on was to Indonesia in 2012, I believe. And I remember we were praying for the sick, and I had never seen someone healed miraculously of something like being blind or being deaf. But I remember on that trip, I began to pray for people, and people would get healed by the prayer. by me laying my hand. I don't know what your theology is, but I have witnessed this, that blind eyes were open, that deaf ears were open. I have seen it. And I'm not going to lie, church. Can I be really honest with you? When I first started doing that, I started feeling myself a little bit. Let me just be real, okay? Let me just be real. I was like, oh, snap, they got healed. Wow. Let me try again. Oh, snap, they got healed. Yeah. And I remember I started building this egotistical complex where I began to think, oh, my God, God needs me to heal all these people. God needs me here in this country so that the sick could get healed. God needs me so that the blind eyes could open. Well, I remember we were going on another trip, and I won't name names, but I remember there was another teammate on the trip who I thought, to be quite honest, in my immature days, was less anointed than I was. And I thought, this person don't even have it all together in their lives. They ain't even praying or reading the word. And I thought, I'll show them how it's done. Okay, I'll show them how it's done. And so we're on this mission trip, and we're praying for people. And I'm praying for my group of people, and something was wrong, because I was praying for people, and they was not getting healed. And I thought, come on. Like, yeah, you know, just praying for people. Bam, nothing's happening. I look over at this weak Christian who I didn't give a second glance, and everyone in this person's line was getting slain in the spirit. They were falling out. People were receiving miracles. People were being rejected. Like, all the life of the ministry was flowing through this one person. I was like, oh, snap. Maybe I really am not that important. Maybe I'm not that powerful. You see, I realized early on that God doesn't need my gifts. There's nothing particularly special about me when it comes to accomplishing his kingdom purposes, but he chooses to use me. He chooses to use his sons and his daughters. Now let's go on, verse 6 through 7. It says this. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. We already went through that. You know, right at the lowest point is where God reveals his greatest glory. But because you say so, he said, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. You see, number one, Peter lets Jesus on his boat. He says, my abilities, my gifts, my resources, my finances, it's all yours. But then he does something else afterwards. He says, I will obey. If you say so, I'll do it. If you tell me to jump off the boat and begin speaking in a fish language to try to get, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, no matter how ridiculous it is. You see, he not only invites Jesus onto his boat, but he responds in obedience. He says, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do it, I'll do it. And honestly, Jesus was going against all conventional wisdom. Peter had so much more insight about fishing. What Jesus was telling him to do was not conventionally wise, okay? The hour they went out, even the area that they let out their nets was not particularly wise conventionally, but he obeyed. Listen, sometimes God's going to call you to do something and it ain't going to make any sense. Like, it's going to go against all conventional wisdom. It's going to go against everything that you know to be right or true. But he's asking, even so, will you obey? You see, let's get one thing clear. Jesus didn't need Peter's boat, but Peter needed Jesus' blessing on his boat. You see, Jesus didn't need Peter's boat. Peter needed Jesus' blessing on his boat. And you know what? That really got me. Like, oh, snap. You thought God really needed your money? You thought God needed your gifts? You thought God needed your resources, your connections? You thought God needed your education? No, you got it twisted. God doesn't need it, but he chooses to use it even though he doesn't need it. Listen, I had to come to grips very early on that I am replaceable when it comes to the purposes of God here on earth. I'm irreplaceable. You know that song by Beyonce? I'm irreplaceable, right? I'm irreplaceable when it comes to my relationship with God. He'll never find another one like me. Literally. I mean, I'm very unique. He'll never find, and you are too. He'll never find another one like you. He can never replace who you are, who he's created you to be. But when it comes to fulfilling the purposes here on earth, we see in the verse, actually, that even if Peter had refused his boat, there was another boat right there. Which tells us, number one, that God isn't so quick to just throw us away when we say no. But also, that he doesn't really need us. He doesn't really need your finances. And you know, I think especially in the topic of giving, and we're going to talk about that later today, just giving you a warning, okay? Because I know some of y'all, when you hear about giving in church, you close off your heart, shut down your ears, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to reassess it. What I want to tell you this is this. God doesn't need your money. And I want to tell you this. Hear me, church, and I am not lying. As your pastor, I'm telling you this. Our church does not need your money. I'm telling you right now, we do not need your money. Listen, if you're giving to the church because you feel sorry for the church, just don't give, okay? If you're giving because you see me and you say, Pastor Mickey, broke pastor, oh my God, I just feel so bad, out of the pity of my heart, I want to give. If you're giving because you feel like we need your money, let's get it straight. We don't need your money. The church doesn't need your money, and I'll tell you why, and I can tell you this confidently because we have the richest investor in the world. We got the richest investor in all of the universe. Listen, I don't know about you, but I love the show Shark Tank. We rolled into Shark Tank, and we said, God looked at us, and he said, your valuation is the price of my son. All you have to do is give me all of it. You have to give me 100% ownership, and I'll give you unlimited resources. Listen, our God has so much more than Mark Cuban. Our God has so much more than Mr. Wonderful. Our God is the richest investor in the world. There are no resources that are too big for our God. So no, we don't need your money. We don't need your resources or your finances. And I learned a long time ago that giving isn't about meeting the needs of God's kingdom purposes. Giving isn't about meeting the needs of the church. Giving isn't throwing a bone to the broke pastor. And we are kind of broke. No, I'm just kidding. Giving, I realized something. Giving, when I give, it actually blesses me. When I give to God, he doesn't need it. But I know that in my act of giving to God, there is something that is produced in me. I know that as I give to the church, to the kingdom purposes of God, that God is doing something in me. That's why the Bible says it is better to give than to receive. Why? Because there is a blessing that can only be received when you have given. I want to tell you something, and you might not like this, but some of you, you've been here in this house, and I'm only talking to the ones who call this your house. Okay, if you're a guest here, I'm not talking to you. But if you consider this your house, some of you just need to begin tithing faithfully. Oh, I felt the spirit of offense go up, the walls come up. But it's not because we need your money. Trust me, we're doing pretty fine, okay? We don't need your money, and God, he's doing fine on his own. It's not because we need your money, but because there are things that God wants to do in and through you, but you haven't let him into the boat of your finances yet. You haven't let him into that part of your boat. You've let him onto the deck of the boat, but that part, you know, that one part on the inside, you say, God, you can't have this. Why do we need a tithe? Because there's a blessing that God wants to release to you that you can't receive until you've learned how to give and sow into the things of God. Please don't leave our church. More on that in a little bit. We're drawing this in for a close. Now, we see in the story that there were two groups of people. Number one, the crowd, and number two, the crew. We see the crowd and the crew. What's the difference? The crowd got the message, but the crew got the miracle. The crowd out hearing the sermon, hearing the message, they got the word, and it was a good word. They got the sermon, they got the message, and they got their blessing from it. But it was the crew that got their miracle. It was the people that said, you can hop onto my boat, Jesus, that experienced the fish just jumping into their boats, so much so that they're starting to sink. It was the crew that got to experience the miracle. I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong about being in the crowd. Listen, some of you need to be in the crowd for a season. You need to just come and to receive. But I want to tell you, you can't remain there. You can't remain in the crowd because you'll never experience the miracle. There comes a point where you have to make a decision if I'm going to remain in the crowd just receiving the word and the message, or if I'm going to join the crew and begin experiencing and encountering the miracle. What I want to tell you, some of you, you've been on the sidelines, and you needed to be on the sidelines. But I feel like God's calling some of you to come back into the game. Come on. God is calling some of you to get up off of the sidelines and get back into the game. See, Peter obeyed, and his boat was overflowing with fish. See, the order is he obeyed, and then he got the blessing. He obeyed, and then he got the breakthrough. When you give God your boat, he will bless you. But hear me, church, this is not the prosperity gospel. Because your blessing is not just for your blessing. Your breakthrough is not just for your breakthrough. See, the blessing is not just for you, but the things that God blesses you with is so that you could bless others. Come on, if God has blessed you financially, I want you to know it's not just so you could be rich. It's so that you could be a blessing to the people around you. If God has blessed you in any way, if there's any breakthrough you've experienced, it's because God wants to bless the people around you. And we see that God's greatest goal for your life is not fish, it's not the blessing, it's faith. Oh, you thought your breakthrough was about your breakthrough? Mm-mm. You thought your blessing was about your blessing? Mm-mm. The purpose of your breakthrough is to produce faith. Because God has broken through in my life, because he's blessed me, now I have faith that he can do so much more. Now that I have faith, not only that he could do it again, but he could do exceedingly beyond anything I can imagine. Listen, if your breakthrough hasn't produced any faith in you, you missed the point. It's not about the breakthrough. It's not about the blessing. It's not about the fish. It's about your faith. What I want to tell you, church, is this. As we head into the new year, it's not about the blessing or the breakthrough or the fish. It's about the faith that God is producing in you. To be able to say, I'm looking at 2018, and I have expectation. I have hope because I know my God is bigger than I can ever imagine or ever dream. Listen, God is not looking for fish. He's looking for faith. And we see in the story that actually Peter left the fish behind to follow Jesus. I'm convinced that many of us, we can't even leave our fish behind. Let's be real. We can't even leave our fish behind. But I want to ask you, you want the fish or you want the favor? You want the stuff or you want the source? Because we can enjoy the stuff, but what if you were to leave it behind and follow the one who makes the stuff appear in the first place? You see, do you want the fish or you want the favor? There will always be fish. There will always be stuff. But faith produced is like gold. You can't just buy that. We're going to end with this because I am a very practical guy. There are three ways that we're calling you to respond to this message. And what we're really going after is we're activating you to offer your boat to Jesus at the end of the year, as we head into 2018, because us fulfilling our destiny in 2018 is not going to be because Krista and I have worked hard and been faithful, or Pastor Benjamin, Sonny, and I, we sat together. It's not that. What's going to make us hit our mark in 2018 is a people, a community, a church that will say, Jesus, here's my boat. Jesus, here's my boat. Here is my abilities. Here's my gifts. Here's my time. Here's my energy. Here's my resources. Here's my finances. Here's my story. What's going to help us hit our mark in 2018, hit our destiny for our house, is a people who will be willing to participate and be obedient in giving Jesus their boat. And so there's three ways that we're calling you to respond. Number one, share your story. Now, the way MailChimp works, when we send out a mass email to the church, is that we can actually see who's opened up our email, who's clicked on the buttons, and who's done this or that. And so far, we sent out an email asking you to share the stories of breakthrough that you've received in 2017, and we've only got a handful of responses, and it's actually very poor. It's not a lot. They're very encouraging. But listen, as we move forward, it's important that we look back. This is why we release the highlights. You guys seen the highlights? You know, I'll throw it up there. This is why we release the highlights. We have to know and remember the things God's done before we can look ahead. We can't move forward effectively if we don't steward the stories of what God's done already. We can't move forward effectively if we don't steward the stories of what God's already done faithfully. It's so easy to forget. And so what we're asking as a house is that you share your story. What is the fish that popped into your boat this year? What is a story of breakthrough that God has released over your life in 2017? Because these stories are what it's all about. This is how we know we've hit our mark this year. And so listen, the email, I'm going to give you a spoiler. It's coming out tomorrow at 10 a.m., okay? And all we're asking you to do is to take 5 minutes. You don't have to write an essay. You can write one sentence. But I want you to share what God has done in your life, how our house has been integral in blessing you, in releasing breakthrough to you in 2017. Submit your story to us about how God moved in your life. And if you want to go the extra mile, we actually have a hashtag called hashtag Destiny Together. And we want you to share your story publicly. There's something powerful about that, because your testimony releases breakthrough for all those who hear it. Okay? So that's number one. The way that you give Jesus your boat is you're going to share your story. Number two, and this is the touchy one, give. I want to reiterate, this is not for the guests who have come here for the first time. This is for the people who call Soda their home. This is for the people who call Living Hope their home. Listen, what we're going to do next week is we're going to take a special offering at the end of service, okay? We're going to take a special offering. We call it the year-end gift. And what this gift is, what this contribution goes towards, is helping us hit our mark in 2018. It's fueling everything that we do heading into the new year. And once again, I want to tell you, some of you, you just need to take that first step and just begin tithing faithfully. That's a command. But when we take the year-end offering next week, we're not talking about obligation. We're talking about going above and beyond. About saying, 2017, I experienced breakthrough because of this house. And so I want to invest in what God's doing into the new year. You see, we're not talking about obligation. We're talking about opportunity. See, we're not talking about this is a requirement. You know how I know? Because in Luke chapter 5, verse 3, he got into one of the boats talking about Jesus, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked. He didn't say, you have to give me your boat. He didn't say, you have to push off from the shore, but he asked. And I believe that God is asking every single one of us, what is it that we will invest into the destiny for 2018? Like I said, this is not required. This is not an obligation. This is above and beyond. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to produce faith in you for the new year, faith for what he's doing heading into 2018. It's an opportunity to play a part in investing in Soda, fulfilling her destiny in 2018. Can I just share my heart? Y'all know me, right? Especially the friends who have known me for a long time. I'm not trying to get your money right now. I'm honestly not trying to get your money, trying to get your finances. I believe this is an opportunity for you to step into a new level of faith, to invest in what this house is doing as we head into the new year. Listen, I'm not trying to pull something over your eyes. I'm not trying to coerce you or manipulate you into giving. That's not what this is about. You don't have to give. This is not an obligation. But I believe it's an opportunity for our church to exercise the faith that God will do something in 2018 that blows our wildest imaginations and dreams away. I don't know about you, but when I think about 2018, I get so excited, so pumped up. I could throw this jeer across the room. That's how pumped I am. And I want to invest. We're going to do it from the top to the bottom. We're going to invest. And my heart as your pastor is to see every single one of us make that contribution. If this is your home, to say, I'm going to invest in my home. I'm going to invest in what God's doing in this house in 2018. And the third is serve. Next year, we are going to open the doors again for those of you who are longing to serve this house. And we're asking you to offer the gifts that you have, just like that person that works at Facebook offered what he had. Just like the people that serve here every week offer the gifts that they have. They offer their resources. They offer their energy. They offer their able bodies. See, right now, I'm proud because we have 52 people serving in this house. And our weekly average attendance is about 95. So that's more than 50%. And I'm proud of that. But I want to be a church as we head into the new year that has 100% participation, where every single son and daughter that comes here to receive also serves and gives back. So we're asking to serve. See, Peter didn't just offer his boat. He offered his services. He threw the net over. He pulled up the fish. He threw the net over again. He pulled up the fish. He didn't just offer and say, God, here's what I have. He says, I want to serve. I want to give you what I have, but I also want to serve what I'm giving you. It doesn't mean you have to go all in, quit your job, and do full-time ministry here at Soda, because trust me, we don't even have the capacity to hire yet. Our house longs for your gifts. It longs for your services. And we'll go at your pace. Some people here serve only once a month. Some people serve every week. But I think it's important that every single member of our church participates in the service to the building up of this house. Three ways. Share your story in your email tomorrow. Give. Pray about an amount that God is calling you to sow into 2018 here at SODA. And the last, serve. When we begin our new onboarding process to sign up, and even if we reject you for a season, it's because we want you to enjoy community a little longer. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. Say, I want to serve this house. I want to serve this community. I want to end with this. You know, a few years ago, Pastor Sam Song came to one of our retreats. He's a pastor in Hong Kong at a church called Solomon's Porch, and he talked about the economy of God. And some of you are hearing this message, and you're looking at your boat, and you notice your boat is a raggedy little piece of crap, okay? You say, I don't have a cool story to share. You're asking me for a story. I don't have a compelling story to share. You're asking me to give finances. Shoot, I could barely eat a meal, okay? I don't have extra the surplus of finances to give. Some of you are looking at your, I'm not even gifted. I don't even have talent. I don't even know what I could contribute to this house. Some of you are looking at your boat and you're saying, I don't have a lot. In fact, it's raggedy. In fact, it's nothing special. There's nothing that would bless anyone. But when Pastor Sam talked about the economy of God, he said, see, the way God's economy works is different from the way earthly economy works. With earthly economy, the more you have, the more you can do. But in the economy of God, he often does more with less. Y'all didn't catch that. See, in the economy of God, God often does more with less. Think about the story when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from a little boy, and he feeds 5,000 people, the multitudes with it. You see, it doesn't matter how little it seems like you have. It doesn't matter if you feel like your story is not worth telling. It doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of money in the bank. It doesn't matter if you feel like you don't have a lot of abilities and talents. The fact is, God can take what little you have and actually do more. He can use your little and do more with it. Think about the widow who gave that one tiny coin when the rich man was giving so much more than her, but this woman gives this tiny little coin. And Jesus says, that's what I'm looking for. Listen, do not look at your story. Do not look at your finances. Do not look at your abilities and your talents and say, I can't offer this boat because it's not good enough. In the economy of God, he often does more with less. And when you hand it to him, you watch what he does with it. You see, God transformed this world with 12 people who had no idea what they were doing. They were stupid. They were inexperienced. They were the rejects of the time. But God took these 12, the 12 that the whole world overlooked, and he transformed the entire globe. We're standing here because those 12 said, God, you can get on my boat. God, I don't have a lot of experience, but you could get on my boat. God, I don't have an education, but you could get on my boat. God, I don't have a lot of abilities or talents. You could get on my boat. God, I don't have a single dime to my name, but you could get onto my boat. The question is, will you offer your boat to God heading into the new year? Because listen, church, hear me. If we're going to hit our mark in 2018, if we're going to do everything that God's called us to do, you need to offer your boat. Not just me or Krista, not just a few of our leaders, but every single person in our community. Will you offer God, your boat? Close your eyes. We're going to respond to this word. The question God is asking here tonight. Number one, do you trust that if you give me your boat, if you let me onto your boat, that I could do something extraordinary with it? Do you believe that the one who could walk on water, the one who could walk over the sea, do you believe that even so, he wants your boat? Do you believe that even though he could do whatever he wants, that he has all authority and power, do you believe that he still wants your boat, that he wants you? Right now, I want you to pray, and I want you to interact with God, and I want you to ask God, God, how are you calling me to respond to this message? God, what story are you calling me to share from 2017 that I didn't have enough courage to put it out? God, what story are you calling me to share of the things that you've done in my life this year? God, what amounts are you calling me to give as we head towards our year-end offering? And God, how are you calling me to use the things that you've given me to serve the house? I want you to know something, church. This is not about me. This is not about Krista. This is not about Pastor Benjamin or Sonny. This is not about soda. This is not about Living Hope. This is between you and God. And I'm perfectly fine if you decide not to contribute anything. If God told you to and he's asking you to withhold, that's fine. But I do believe that if you call this your home, I do believe that God is calling us as a family to do this together so that 2018 could be even greater than 2017, that the latter days will shine brighter than the former, that we'll be able to look into the new year and say, God, I'm so excited for what you're releasing and what you're doing. Right now, just have that time with God. What's he speaking to you? What's he calling you to do? What's the faith that he's producing in you right now?